Hi, I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley. John Howard once described Papua New Guinea as our patch. So why is China spending hundreds of millions of dollars there?
When you go to Port Moresby, there is just Chinese activity everywhere, Chinese aid projects, Chinese loans, Chinese contractors building roads, and you go up into the highlands, into the corner store, odds are it's going to be owned by a Chinese person.
China is buddying up to our nearest neighbours. Has Australia dropped the ball in its own backyard? And is it too late to turn things around? That's today's episode of The Signal.
So Australia's pretty worried about China's growing clout with our nearest neighbours. And in fact, Malcolm Turnbull was so concerned about this that he brought it up at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in London in a bid to try to get the Brits on board.
Yeah, and it looks like he's had a bit of a win because the UK's announced it's going to start spending more of its big foreign aid budget in the Pacific. And it also wants to do a few trade deals along the way.
Yeah, and the hope here is that this is going to give Australia a bit of a boost in this increasing battle with China for influence in the region. And it's a battle that the ABC's PNG correspondent Eric Dworchek reckons we're losing.
For the last 5 years, China's been pumping a lot of money into Papua New Guinea. They've been pumping money into infrastructure projects and mainly through the form of concessional loans, but also in private investment. So while Australian investment has been pretty stagnant, Chinese has been rising rapidly. So the Chinese presence has been dramatically increasing both in, you know, private projects, but also in the aid space.
So what does that look like? What is, like, you know, is it schools? Is it, you know, is it roads? Is it airports? What is that Chinese money go towards?
All of those things. There's brand new airports that you can see in some of the provincial capitals. There's a new school around the corner from us here in Port Moresby that's being gifted from one of the cities in China to the local government here. There's new roads. They're ripping up the main road just down the hill, the main freeway in Port Moresby, and resurfacing that ahead of the APEC summit that's coming up later this year. So actually, it's pretty hard to travel around PNG these days without seeing an example of Chinese aid or investment.
I feel like a layman's understanding of aid is that it's a gift, that it's kind of, you know, no strings attached, but that's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, and particularly not with Chinese aid. The way the Chinese government used to operate its aid was it gave loans. These are called, you know, concessional loans, meaning that the interest rate is lower, but actually for some of the loans, the rate was pretty close to the market rate. So it wasn't always a great deal for the host country, particularly for small developing countries in the Pacific. But China would come in and say, hey guys, here's a whole heap of money that you can use to build infrastructure. The catch is our state-owned company will build that infrastructure, and then there's not a lot of transparency about how much the infrastructure actually cost, and then the developing country was left with the loan. And that's something that's happened a lot in Papua New Guinea in the past few years, and it's left Papua New Guinea with a tenfold increase in the cost of servicing its debt to China.
Wow, tenfold. But is all that Chinese aid and all those loans giving PNG value for money? Like, doesn't China have a reputation for going and building stuff in other countries they don't actually need and didn't ask for in the first place?
China used to be accused of delivering substandard projects, but charging a lot of money, which the impoverished developing nations of the Pacific had to pay back. But now, actually, it's not just delivering more grants, so it's not just gifting more infrastructure, but countries are noticing that infrastructure is getting better. So the roads are of higher quality, they're lasting longer, the buildings are getting better. And this is because China has seen that it's not just enough to jump in, give money, like it actually needs long-term support. So if it wants to build that long-term support, it needs a degree of, you might call it maturity in its aid program. International aid is new for China. And this way of engaging with countries is new for China. So it is actually doing it better. It's starting to deliver higher quality projects and it's starting to deliver more grants. And this actually increases the challenge for countries like Australia. So if China's not just giving away stuff, but it's starting to give away better stuff, you know, how does Australia keep competing when Australia has a lot more bureaucracy, a lot more processes involved? And it's a lot harder for Australia to come in with what they call impact projects in a place like PNG.
China's handing over, like, you know, kind of like this Oprah, like, everybody gets a car, you get a car, you get a car.
China's the cool uncle or stepdad and Australia's the grandparent that gives you a book voucher. You know, whereas, you know, China comes in and gives you a remote-controlled car, or nowadays a drone. So that's the challenge. I mean, the book voucher is worth more in the long term. Australia's giving PNG governance training, for example. You know, that is nowhere near as exciting for Papua New Guinea as a brand new freeway or a brand new airport. But in the long run, governance training for public servants and strengthening PNG institutions could arguably have a greater impact on development. But it's a pretty hard sell.
Okay, so the Chinese are muscling in hard in PNG, but why PNG?
Well, it's much larger than a lot of its neighbours. It's 8 million people, and its economy is growing super fast, mainly because PNG is sitting on a lot of natural resources.
And how much money does PNG owe China?
Well, Jonathan Pryke from the Lowy Institute has actually been watching this cash splash in the Pacific really closely, and he's even been keeping count.
China gives aid to 8 countries in the Pacific that support them in the United Nations, and they are Papua New Guinea, the Federated States of Micronesia, Vanuatu, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, Niue, and Cook Islands. And all up, that they've given about $1.8 billion between 2006 and 2016. Of that 1.8, a third of it is going to PNG. So $600 million has been committed to PNG over that period. And since in the last 2 years, it's just gone up and up and up. The activity that China is engaged in PNG has really been ramping up, and we've been still been collecting data on that, but we're still trying to figure out actually what is and what isn't a project. I mean, you see a lot of announcements, but a lot of announcements that don't actually lead to anything. So it takes quite a bit of time to actually figure out what China is doing. And that opacity, the difficulty of finding that information, is another reason why people are so anxious. We don't actually know the full extent of what China is doing. The Lowy Institute work is the best picture available, and we're certainly pretty confident in what we've collected, but I'm sure we've missed some stuff.
Right, so obviously PNG is getting plenty of stuff, but there must be some strings attached, right? Like, what the hell does PNG have that China wants?
Well, quite a lot, potentially.
There are certain expectations that China will get support from these countries when it comes to issues like, you know, the South China Sea arbitration a few years ago, or other, or for example, the One China policy against Taiwan. But you know, China is very, you know, we'll say this publicly, that they have want to be a benign actor or have a non-values based approach to their engagement in foreign policy and through their aid program. So that leaves it pretty opaque. We don't really actually know what the end game is or what all the strings attached are. And that's, I think, why we're seeing so much anxiety in Canberra and other capitals and traditional Western donors in the Pacific, because we just really don't know what the end game is for China in the region, and it's making everyone pretty anxious.
So no one really knows what China is hoping to get out of it yet. That sounds pretty serious. And even though there are still all these big questions about China's goal, I guess the question is there anything that Australia can do? And if we're already outspending China, then probably money is not the answer?
No, exactly. But money isn't the only option. Jonathan Pryke reckons there's some really basic things that we're not doing that we absolutely should be.
Pacific Island leaders have been guests of government to Australia under the Abbott coalition government twice, and that's that the leaders of Nauru and the leader of Solomon Islands. So there's no PNG, no Fiji, no Vanuatu. You know, all these countries should be coming here all the time to meet with our leaders. And at the same in that same period from 2013 or 2014, whenever the coalition government got cracking, Frank Bainimarama has visited as a guest of government to Beijing 3 times and met with Xi Jinping. Peter O'Neill at least has gone twice and met with Xi Jinping. You know, that is a no-brainer. And I'm just amazed. And, you know, these leaders come all the time to Australia for informal informal meetings and for, you know, personal reasons. But, you know, we don't roll out the red carpet. We don't actually, they don't get to engage at that peer-to-peer level with Turnbull and with other leaders.
Okay, so we just need to get the neighbours around a bit more.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, make a big fuss when you do. In fact, Jonathan's got a list of solutions: defence cooperation, economic measures like work visa programs for Pacific Islanders, and above all, a bit of consistency.
You know, you go through like real fits of activity, but then it just falls off the radar for until the next, you know, usually it's some sort of crisis hits, and then you get this flurry of activity again, and then people just forget about the region again.
And how do you see the UK fitting into the picture? Because we were saying at the start that it's planning to ramp up its presence in the Pacific, and we know Malcolm Turnbull's pretty keen for the UK to be more involved in the region. Could Britain be the backup Australia's looking for?
In terms of generosity, they give 0.7% of their national income into their aid program, and in Australia it's about 0.2. So, you know, they are light years ahead of us. And a lot of that aid in the past, and all the aid really they've given in the Pacific, has gone through the EU, through the European Commission. And now with Brexit, they're pulling all that funding out, and they're figuring out how we're going to see how much is going to start flowing to the Pacific bilaterally through the UK aid program. And so you could see in the next few years the UK really ramping up its engagement through the Commonwealth, and I think there's something like 8 or 10, I can't remember the exact number, but there's a lot of Commonwealth countries in the Pacific. And so you could see the UK engaging back in the region in a substantial way.
Interesting. So what if Australia doesn't lift its game here? Like, what's really at stake?
Well, Eric reckons this fight is much bigger than just Australia and China.
Well, China really sees this not just as a competition with Australia, but as a competition with the US. The US has always let Australia take the lead in PNG. You know, a diplomat here told me Australia's the big dog in town when it comes to aid, when it comes to diplomacy, when it comes to giving a lead to the PNG government on things. But the US is still here quietly in the background. They're enhancing their military and security cooperation this year and in the last couple of years. And that's as a real counterpoint to China. The US doesn't want China to gain too big a foothold in the Western Pacific either. And there's a lot at stake for the US, you know, with its bases in Guam and places across the Pacific. It doesn't want to see too big a Chinese presence here. And it's worried that, you know, if China gets a foothold and overtakes Australia in influence, then the US is the big loser. And China knows that too. So geopolitically, there's actually quite a bit at stake. And for Australia, you know, if China gains a strong foothold in PNG, everyone needs to remember that PNG is actually 4 kilometres from Australia.
It is really easy to forget that.
Yeah, it's like so close you can actually see PNG from one of the Torres Strait Islands.
Yeah, which explains why Australia is so keen to protect its presence in the country. That's The Signal for today. You can email us at thesignal@abc.net.au, or you can hit up me or Smiley on Twitter.
Have a nice weekend. Bye.
Bye.